Very good Thursday morning to you. My name is Jim Rome. Welcome to the jungle. We have a whole lot to get done today. I've got a ton of show, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging to get it all in. So let's go ahead and get after this thing right now. Welcome to the program, brought to you today by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, of course, is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So much show that it's going to take me a few moments to even set the whole thing up. But it looks like this. Your telephone number is toll-free, you know, 1-800-636-8686. We are talking college football. We are talking college basketball. We are talking NBA. We are talking NHRA. We're talking NFL. We're talking Romo. All of that in the next 3 hours, starting with Indiana head football coach Tom Allen. That's next segment. Next hour, Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith. Also next hour, Cruz Pedregon in studio for a segment. In hour number three, NFL Network analyst and LA Chargers broadcaster Daniel Jeremiah. Episode 104 of the Jim Rome podcast is already live. Romo, Bill Romanowski showed up. And Romo showed up exactly the way you would expect him to show up. I'm going to preview that for you as well. Do not listen to the podcast yet. Let me do this program and then wait until after the program. And then dial that thing in. But it is great. Hey, Adam, how long did that thing run? Like an hour. We had an hour with Romo. And not only did it live up to the hype, it exceeded it. An entire hour with Bill Romanowski. All right, so that's how it's setting up. Once again, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Starting with the association. All right, I've said it before. Let me say it once again. There are not that many great rivalries left in the NBA. But if you want to start and you want to pick one, start with the Clippers and the Rockets. For years now, it's been good. Really spicy when these two get together. Last night in Houston was no exception. Let's get a couple of the necessary details out of the way. Houston beat LA 102-93. James Harden had 47. Now that should tell you something. That I'm saying that James Harden had 47, and that is not the focus of the game. Far from it. Because with 91 seconds left in that game, Clippers head coach Doc Rivers got into it with the officials. Then Rockets guard Austin Rivers was the third man into that fight. Except he was not on his dad's side. In fact, quite the opposite. You know, there are certain moments in life, as a father, you'll never forget. You know, first words, first steps, maybe first home run. First time your son calls for you to be ejected from an NBA game. Roll it.
Doc Rivers is just about on his way out of here.
And Austin Rivers wants him to get thrown out of the game. Austin Rivers is asking for his dad to be ejected.
That's because he's on the Rockets' side of the court trying to get a word in with the officials.
Austin Rivers wants his dad to be tossed. That was funny. Austin Rivers teeing up his old man.
And now he's waving him off.
And now he got tossed and telling him to get out of here. Tell him I'll call you later. He's telling him I'm going to call you later. Give him the phone sign. That's incredible.
Rockets radio. Normally, the local homers are hyping something out of control, but that guy didn't. It was that funny. It was that good. It was really that good and that funny. So if you're watching on TV, the moment Doc starts in on Tony Brothers, you could see Austin coming into the frame and throwing up the tee. And he kept at it. He's standing about 3 feet from Tony Brothers, and he's working that tee like a boss. Like, some people think that Austin Rivers is an agitator, a pot stirrer, but he really isn't. He really isn't. Don't take my word for it. Just ask Austin himself.
I was just trying to help out the situation. Listen, guys, I'm not a, I don't ever like to escalate anything. Y'all don't know me for that. I've always been a peacemaker. So, you know, that's just 100%. You know, Doc's got to keep his cool.
I don't know what's funnier, him trying to convince us that he's a peacemaker, or that he said, quote, Doc, he's got to keep his cool. He's just trying to help out. He's just trying to bring some peace to the situation. Sure, he's not. I'm even all right with him calling his dad by his name. Actually, not his name, but his nickname. He docked him. Doc. Doc's got to keep his cool. Of course he was. Austin Rivers was already a legend from his time with the Clippers when he was jawing at the Rockets while on the bench in a suit and a walking boot and getting on them so much and getting under their skin and in their head to the point that the Rockets came after him in the tunnels of Staples, allegedly. So if Austin's doing that in a suit, in a walking boot, allegedly, I'm surprised he didn't grab the ref's whistle and just tee up his old man himself last night. Then again, he didn't have to. He knew Pops was going to get run. He could see the signs. He knows his old man. He knows Doc. He's seen it all before.
I knew it was coming. I could see him. I've seen that look before many times. So once he starts blinking his eyes fast, he starts. That's when I know he's about to level up. So I just try to tell him, Tony, they get him. They got him. He's out of here.
Man, I love that. Only thing missing from that is boom, out of here. Once he starts blinking his eyes really fast, I know he's about to level up. So I started yelling, Tony, get him. They got him. He's out of here.
Boom.
Hey. Out of here.
That is an amazing quote, too. And I'm going to say there was not a happier person on the planet than Austin when Doc did get teed up. He's clapping, he's laughing, he's celebrating, he's calling for the crowd to bring the noise as Doc was being escorted off the floor. Again, that's his old man, that's his dad. How insane is that? Almost as insane as Austin hitting his dad with a call me gesture as Doc cleared off the floor. Austin going with a call me, not even a call me, like a gesture, call me to his dad, and then hopping on Twitter after the game and tweeting, quote, "Well, Thanksgiving's going to be weird." And even better than that tweet is his sister, Callie, tweeting a JC blast.
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
His sister did that. His sister got on Twitter and as like a standalone one-off tweeted, and I quote, this is her tweet. She just tweeted, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Like she saw her old man and her brother. And she went with a JC blast.
Brother.
And then Austin posted a pic of himself calling for the tea on Instagram. And Doc commented underneath, quote, hilarious. Love you. See, it's all love. It's all love. It's all good. It's all good and it's all love. So do not come in here with your, hey, Rome. I haven't seen a father and son get that nuts at a sporting event in a long time. Regards, Tom Gamboa. Don't do that. I don't want those resets. And let me say this. If I need to come out on a side, I'm definitely Team Doc. I mean, I'm a big Austin guy, but in this particular case, I'm Team Doc. The refs screwed this up. They did screw it up. Listen to Doc lay out the situation.
I made a challenge. They actually said I was right in the challenge, but that I took over the 30-second time to call it. So then the two refs walked over to me and told me that that means you get your, you don't win the challenge, but you get your timeout back. The arena actually put the extra timeout back up on the board. So we think we have two timeouts. I think it because two refs actually walked over to me and told me, told all of our assistants and told our players.
Right. He's 100% right. Tony Brothers admitted it afterwards, quote, after it was determined the Clippers could not challenge the play, they were incorrectly informed that they would retain their timeout. After Rivers was told that he lost his timeout during that challenge, as you can expect, he became upset and he was given an opportunity to try to get his composure and it didn't happen, end quote. Yeah, Doc will tell you why that didn't happen.
Now, listen, I'm fine with that if they had told me, but the officials can't tell me that I get my timeout back and then have me use it and then tell me after the fact you don't have it. That was big. I mean, those mistakes cannot happen. And what bugged me the most is the two officials who told me, they ran away. They just let Tony Brothers have it. That's, I mean, come on. That's, you can't do that. You can't do that in a four-point game. That could never happen. It could never happen.
Right. He's 100% right. That can't happen. If you screw it up, own it. But if the refs did that, then they wouldn't be refs, right? And we wouldn't have that scene that we had last night, right? How big was that scene? Like I said, it overshadowed Harden's 47. And it overshadowed Russell Westbrook's amazing comments about Pat Beverly. Roll this.
Okay, 47?
47.
Oh. Pat Bev tricked y'all, man, like you played defense. You don't know about the edges early round. You seen what happened, 47. All that commotion.
You think all the getting up in guys' chest, 94 feet.
It's good, you know, to play hard. Playing hard is a part of the game, man. I don't. For people like me, I play hard every night, as well as he does. And that's a part of the game. He played hard. That's it. There's nothing else to it. He played hard. That's good, but it doesn't make great decisions. Sometimes he does a good job defensively, but tonight James took advantage of him. He got what he wanted.
All right, I know I'm trying to jam a whole lot into this opening block, probably too much this time. Really quickly, let me read that. That's Russell Westbrook getting after Pat Beverly. We know he doesn't like him. He said, quote, and by the way, Pat, these are not my words. These are from Russ. Quote, what James score, 44, 47? Pat Bev trick y'all, man, like he's playing defense. He don't guard nobody, man. He's just running around doing nothing. End quote. Well, just running around doing nothing. That got back to Pat, who said, don't start that. Don't start that. I don't care about that. The thing is, it's not true. I know Russ hates Pat, and I know that goes back years. But what he said is not true. Harden was 0-for-6 from the floor when Beverly was on him. When Pat was allegedly running around doing nothing, the guy doing nothing in that matchup was Harden. So what he's saying is not true. Again, don't take my word for it. Listen to his own coach, Mike D'Antoni. He said it was huge when Beverly fouled out.
Oh, big, big. At least, you know, James could take the coat off. I mean, he's like, you know, just bugging the hell out of me. I don't, James swat there. I'm like, get out of here. But, you know, Patrick's one of my favorite players, without a doubt. He's all in it for the right reasons. He's what you want on your team to be. If you want to win, you get guys like that.
Damn, that was a night, wasn't it? And D'Antoni's telling the truth. Here's another truth. The Clippers, the Rockets, are going to run it back a week from tomorrow in L.A. I can't wait. Bring Russ. Bring Pat. Bring Austin. Bring Doc. Let's do this whole thing. That is a true rivalry. It's getting better. And by better, I mean worse. 1-800-636-8686. All right, really quickly, other things I want to get to. The update on Colin Kaepernick. Not so good. Lakers looking good. How about Lakers and Golden State and the way that whole thing is flipped? All of that, and I've got four interviews, including one in studio and a reset of Bill Romanowski. It's going to be a huge day here in the jungle. Get at me. Guys, never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Like, you may think that it makes you look cool and casual, but more than likely, you end up looking sloppy. That's why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, not too short. It is just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them perfection. Untuck It shirts are go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Even the wrinkle-free options feel great too. Untuck It offers 50 different fit combinations. That way, tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can experience the perfect fitting shirt. What you want to do is log on to untuckit.com, check out all the new arrivals, then use the promo code ROME and take 20% off your first-time purchase. You can also visit one of their stores, 70 of them now nationwide. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt, untuckit.com. Your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME and get 20% off your first-time purchase. That's untuckit.com, promo code ROME, take 20% off.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Busy, busy day. I'm excited to do this. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Excited to talk Indiana football. We are joined by the head coach at Indiana, third full season as Hoosiers head coach. IU is 7-2. They're 4-2 in conference play. They are number 24 this week in the AP poll. They have entered the polls for the first time in a quarter century. Indiana is at number 9 Penn State Saturday. Hoosiers head coach Tom Allen is my guest. Great to have you on, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Appreciate you having me on your show.
It is so good to have you on this show. So as I mentioned in the intro, IU is ranked for the first time in a quarter of a century. You've got that huge game Saturday at State College. What is the mood and the vibe like among the players right now?
Well, there's a lot of excitement. The confidence keeps growing each and every week. You know, we worked really, really hard. This is my third year here as head coach and been building this thing step by step. It's been a slow process. You always want things to happen sooner than they do, but just proud of our guys, man. They just have worked so hard. They've done everything we've asked them to do. They've bought in, they've trained, they've prepared. And to see them be rewarded for all their hard work has been a great, great feeling. And I just know that, our fan base is excited about what we're building, and getting a chance to get ranked is just a kind of a nice reward for just kind of saying that you're doing things the right way that allows you to have success on the field. It gets recognized. Doesn't mean a lot more than that, but at the same time, we recognize that we're excited about what we're building and the way we're building it.
Indiana head football coach Tom Allen is joining us. You know, the thing that really impresses me is that while the fans, I know they're excited, they might be really impressed by this, but it seems like nobody inside the program is at all surprised. As an example, you told the team back in fall camp you believed it was a top 25 team. What did you see then that made you say that?
Well, I just felt like that, you know, being here enough, we had a core group of upperclassmen back that I thought their leadership had taken off to another level this offseason, and we really put an emphasis on that, and they bought into that, and I saw them infecting their teammates and the way that we had guys in every single position group that were pulling guys with them, and it elevated our work ethic, the mindset in the weight room. Our shrink staff done a phenomenal job, and that just started building a confidence to our team. And then you sprinkle in some really talented young players. We had the top two recruiting classes in the history of our program in our first 2 years here as head coach. And so those young guys are now have been here, and they're part of that growth and that confidence, and we knew we were going to have some more depth. And so I just felt like with all those things combined, I loved the way the guys attacked the workouts every day. And I told them, I believe they're going to be a top 25 football team. And they proved me right. And we didn't say it publicly, but internally we did. And I love the way our guys have embraced that and lived it out.
We're talking to Hoosier football Indiana head coach Tom Allen joining us here in the jungle. A couple of weeks back, you beat Nebraska in their house to become bowl eligible. That was the first time IU had beaten Nebraska in Lincoln in 60 years. I loved your emotion after the game and everything it meant. So how significant a moment was that for you and for the team?
It was powerful, you know, just to be able to get that type of win on the road in that venue, a place, like you said, hadn't won in 60 years. Just the history, just to be able to in the way we won, you know, to be able to overcome some adversity and even throughout the week and then during the game and then find a way to get a big stop in the fourth quarter defensively and get the ball back and then never have to go off the field again because our offense ran the clock out. So I just was so proud of our guys and just knowing how much work they'd put in, how much our staff worked at it and how much this meant to our fans and our program. And I just knew it was huge and it just prompted a lot of emotion and I care so much and I'm a passionate guy, but I love this place. I love what we're doing and it was just neat to see them rewarded on a national stage.
You've got IU number 24 in the polls. They are taking on number 9 Penn State Saturday. And then Tom, your quarterback Peyton Ramsey had a career high 351 yards, a couple of TDs that game. He had been the starter, but he was beaten out for the job in preseason. At that point he could have left, but he didn't, and he was there when you and the team needed him. What's that say about him both as a player and as a person?
Well, I think it speaks volumes to his character, and I've said it many times. And I knew he had it, but then when it gets tested, and especially in that way when you're the starter and then you get it taken from you, it's hard, and it hurt him, and I know it did. It was hard for me to tell him face-to-face the day I had to, but I knew that I challenged him that day, and I really believed he would respond the right way, and I challenged him to be a great teammate, and he has been, and to be ready when called upon, and he has been, and he's been awesome for us, and now he's our starter again, and you just never know. It's a great life lesson, you know, adversity strikes, and he handled it like a man, and his character came shining through, and his whole team mindset, and he embraces LEO, which stands for love each other. It's a foundational component of our program, and he's lived that out every single day, and I'm so happy for him and proud for the way he's responded.
It's a great point. Tom Allen joining us for a few more moments. You know, I had Walter McCarty on the show yesterday, and he's from Evansville, and he said that being the head coach at Evansville means so much to him. You're from Newcastle, Indiana. Yep. And you played there and you coached at places like Marion and Penn Davis. So what did it mean to you when you were named head coach at IU?
Well, it meant so much to me to represent my home state. And like you said, I've been a high school coach in this state for 10 years. And and played my high school football here. My dad was my high school coach, and being from Newcastle, which has a lot of strong ties to Indiana University, mostly for basketball, but just a lot of ties to IU. It's just a tremendous honor. It's a blessing. I feel so just proud to be able to wear Indiana on my chest and represent the place that I love and care so much about. So, yeah, it's a powerful thing when it's personal, and it just makes it mean that much more when you're able to have the success that you dream about having.
You know, you mentioned you're the son of a coach, and you and your dad, in fact, he made sure that you sat down and you watched a lot of film with him, and I mean actual film on a projector. But despite that, the early plan was for you to major in business and become an accountant. Like, so mm-hmm. What were you thinking at that time, and what brought you back to football?
Well, you know, I went to college to major in that, and I started that my freshman year, and I love business. I love accounting. I love the numbers piece of that. That's just kind of what I've always had a passion for from that perspective. But I just, in a lot of ways, God got a hold of my heart and said, man, you're wired to be, you can't be in an office 8 hours, 10 hours a day. I'd be a caged tiger probably in that environment. But just follow my heart, the passion that I have for impacting people and making a difference in their lives. And I just felt like that. So I switched from business to business education to become a coach and a high school teacher and just had this passion to be able to use what God's given me to impact young men and help them grow and develop. And that's what we've been doing ever since. Now I do it at the college level. It's just really being able to you feel blessed when you can do what you love to do and you're really right in your strength zone.
Tom Allen, my guest. All right, finally then, another big opportunity and a challenge coming up this weekend. You've got Penn State. Now, the good thing about having a good season is that each game gets bigger and bigger. So how do you go about getting ready and preparing to face James Franklin and his team?
Well, as you said, tremendous challenge. You know, we've never beaten them at Penn State in the history of our program. So it's going to have to be one of those games where we have to play the very, very best football we can possibly play. They've done a tremendous job recruiting there, developing their players. But it does come back to the things we've done on a daily basis to get where we are now. That has to continue. It's that consistency in our preparation, the focus, the attention to details, the ability to be able to make those critical plays at the critical times in the game when it's fourth and five or third and seven, you got to get a big stop, or you got to get a conversion, you got to make a special teams play. And that's what we had not been able to do in the past. That's what we've been doing here these last several weeks to allow us to win those close games. And so it doesn't change. You just got a little bigger stage, bigger opportunity, but I believe our team is prepared well, and we'll get a chance to go out and prove how well prepared we are on Saturday at Penn State.
And then quickly, Tom, specifically as you look at Penn State on film, what concerns you the most about them?
Their team speed. It's pretty obvious. Both sides of the ball, special teams, the O-line, D-line play is impressive. So I'd say their offense, defensive line sticks out the most, and then the overall speed of their players is impressive. So we're going to have to be on our A game.
You having a great year. They're number 24 in the AP poll, and they've got another great challenge coming up Saturday against Penn State. Their head football coach is Tom Allen. Tom, great to have you on the show. Really nice to talk to you. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it. Leo.
You too. Tom Allen joining us. That's a good jungle debut right there. Great to talk some Indiana football. And another good matchup. Really good matchup. Indiana at Penn State. As he mentioned, they have never won there before. Then again, they had not won in Lincoln for 60 years. Let's see what happens. 1-800-636-8686. I have an open segment next. I want to talk Lakers and Warriors. I want to talk Colin Kaepernick. I want to talk about Bill Romanowski, who made his triumphant return to the Jungle platform, this time the podcast. Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith, top of the hour. Cruz Pedregon in studio next hour. Daniel Jeremiah in hour number three. First up, I got a sports update. Here it is. Actually, Andrew Bogish has that sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, it is an NFL and CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between a couple of the most dynamic QBs in the sport. Lamar Jackson.
Jackson.
And the Ravens take on Deshaun Watson.
Jackson.
You don't have that, Alvin. Jackson and Watson.
Jackson.
Then you've got New England and Philly. It all starts with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. I'm not there this weekend. I will be there next weekend. Thing about this show that I take a lot of pride in, aside from our range in diversity, this is not a three-topic show. I'm not going to bang the same three topics over and over and over and over again. I mean, I could, but I don't. There are lots of really interesting stories developing, lots of good storylines. And when you have a story like Indiana football, and they're ranked in the top 25 for the first time in decades, they're doing things they have not done in decades. They deserve some shine. They deserve a little bit of attention. I'm happy to do it. And it's interesting to me to talk about. And then you get a guy like Tom Allen. He's got a lot of energy. You know, strong guy, humble guy. Obviously, the players believe in him and want to play for him. That's good subject matter. Indiana football. I like it. I'm here for it, is what I'm saying. So you're always going to get that on the program. We're going to get you those things. I'm not going to hammer. I mean, I'll get those big three topics in, but I'm not going to subside or exist only on those three. So Tom Allen in Indiana, get some shine on syndicated radio, and they should. Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith coming up next hour. Cruz Pedregon in studio next hour. Daniel Jeremiah in hour three. I spent an hour on the phone with Bill Romanowski yesterday. And I've got the latest on Colin Kaepernick in 1 minute. Let's go to the phones quickly. In Indianapolis, Adam, it's good to have you, Adam. How are you?
Jim, so good. How are you?
I'm great, Adam. Really good.
Good. Glad to hear it. Hey, I actually was at Ben Davis High School when Coach Allen was there as a coach and an administrator. And we bussed in a bunch of kids from the inner city who didn't have father figures, who had rough home lives. And I saw time and again in a very successful high school football program, this dude call forward young men to be the best that they could be. And our program was excellent because of guys like him. And I'm so proud of the success that he's had at IU. And I love that he was on your show because I am a clone from a long time ago. Your show has had a big impact on me. I got four sons, and anytime anybody in our house refers to their brother, I always say, brother.
That's
just
great.
A part of my cultural vernacular at this point is listening to your show. So war you on the Hall of Fame. Congratulations on that. So well deserved. War Tom Allen, War Hoosiers football. Thank you so much for the time, and thanks for the vine.
Thank you, Adam. Good job. That's about as well-spoken and articulate a clone as I've heard in quite some time. Adam in Indy getting us started. Nice job. He's got four sons, and anytime something comes up and they interact, he hits one of them with a brother.
Brother.
Hey, how many of you clones have brothers?
Brother.
Big brothers?
Brother.
Little brothers?
Brother.
Brothers you love?
Brother.
Brothers you hate?
Brother.
Multiple brothers?
Brother.
Stepbrothers?
Brother.
Brother from another?
Brother.
Nice job, Adam. Thank
brother.
You. All right, so a lot of you do not like this topic, but it's a topic nonetheless. It's a big story nonetheless. And we cover those things too, obviously. So remember how weird it was when Colin Kaepernick was told that there was going to be a workout. Remember when the story dropped and it was announced that there was going to be a workout on Tuesday? It was weird. It came off weird. The details sounded weird. And it's only getting more and more weird. Here is a series of tweets from Adam Schefter starting with this. Quote, after initially agreeing to provide the list of personnel executives and coaches that would attend Colin Kaepernick's workout, the NFL has reversed course and said it will not, per sources. End quote. Well, that's pretty excellent. I mean, awesome. Off to a really strong start. Like, sure, we're going to set up a workout for you where any team in the league can attend. Just don't ask us who is going to attend or who that team is going to send because we're not telling you. It's none of your business anyway. I mean, do you want the workout or not? And by the way, you've got 2 hours to let us know. But no, you don't get to know who's going to be there, and you've got 2 hours to let us know. Do you want it or not? Yeah, that's what I thought. And then there's this from Schefter. Quote, several executives with teams have reached out as a courtesy to Colin Kaepernick's representatives saying that they couldn't attend Saturday's workout and they were confused by the purpose of the NFL scheduling this workout. End quote. All right, so if the teams are confused by the purpose of the workout, then exactly what is the purpose of the workout? If the teams don't understand it, how the hell would Kaepernick or anybody else understand it? Again, what is the purpose here? What is the purpose here other than to cover their own back and maybe try to rip some positive pub? Wait, there's more. Because there is an NFL source, and it seems like that NFL source did not like the wording of the initial reports about the list of attendees. Quote, NFL source, league never promised to provide a list of attendees to Colin Kaepernick workout and said multiple clubs are attending. So, Kaepernick camp says it was promised list of attendees and can prove it. And an NFL source said league did not make that promise. It goes on, quote, another source in Kaepernick's camp said he was on the phone call when the NFL said how it would provide the names of attendees. On it goes, end quote. So, he said, she said. The league says, we never promised a list of the attendees. Kaepernick's rep said, yes, you did, and we can prove it. Like, on the surface, the list of confirmed attendees might not seem like a big deal. Like, if you get invited to a party, you don't ask the host, who's coming to the party? I need to know. But that's not what this is. Like, if you're Kaepernick's camp, and you want to make sure that it's not a sham, it's not a pub grab, it's a legit workout, you want to know who the legit people are who are going to be there. In other words, if I'm Kaepernick, I'm wondering, am I going to work out in front of head coaches and GMs, people that can make the actual decisions, or is it going to be some warm body who a team can just send? Because if it's not a legit workout, and it's a couple of scrubs or a couple of interns watching me work out, then it's not legit. Then I'm doing it for you and not for me, and I know that I've got no legitimate shot. I'm not going to waste my time. Awfully hard to argue it's a legit workout if it's organized on a Saturday during the season and nobody knows why it's happening and nobody who matters can actually show up because it's on a Saturday during the season. I mean, what I'm saying is, how NFL is this? I mean, this crew couldn't organize a one-car parade. Better yet, they'll create something like this workout, and then they'll mess it up. 48 hours ago, nobody even knew about this workout. But the league created it, told a few reporters that something was going to go down and that they should be prepared. And they told the reporters that before they told Kaepernick. I mean, that's kind of fishy in and of itself, right? Why is the media finding out about it before the player is finding out about it? And then the league masterfully butchers the rollout. I mean, honestly, if you're going to organize a sham workout, just to benefit you and get pub, at least do it properly or don't do it at all. So instead of all that good, phony pub that they're hoping to get when they went on about this unprecedented move of organizing a workout for one player, something they've never done before, but they're doing it for this one player, the whole thing blows up in their face anyway. Like time and time again, if there is a mistake to be made in a situation, the league office will make that mistake. And if there is not a mistake to be made, they will create a way to make that mistake. If they were really serious about this workout, they would have organized it months ago. They would have let everybody involved know well in advance so everybody would know exactly why they were doing it and so it would go smoothly. Instead, they drop it on Kaepernick, they give him 2 hours to accept, and they spring it on teams so they have no idea what's happening. Not only do teams not know why the workout's taking place, they don't even know what's involved in the workout. Charles Robinson reported last night, quote, as of Wednesday evening, no defined throwing script was provided to Kaepernick, despite the event being less than 3 days away. There was also no indication from the league who Kaepernick would be throwing to. Under typical pro day circumstances, a quarterback is aware of the receivers and running backs he will be working with, as well as a defined structure of the program to suggest how many throws and routes will be expected during the workout, end quote. Wait, so is there going to be a guy with a broom? Is there going to be a guy with a tennis racket? A broom and a tennis racket?
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
A baseball bat, a tennis racket. Hey, by the way, I'm boycotting Space Jam 2. And you should too. How do you not let me in that movie, Braun? I can't be like that, Braun. I let Mike in the first movie, but you won't let me in this movie. What is that, Braun? Don't hate, man. Anyway, we got a surprise workout. A surprise workout that's dropped on everybody, and we don't actually know what's going to take place in that workout. Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Good job, everybody at the league office. Why don't y'all take a lap, get some water, call it a day. And yes, I've seen the suggestion from some parts that this is in response to teams reaching out to the league with an interest in Kaepernick. Albert Breer tweeted in part, the NFL planned it in response to teams reaching to their football ops people on Kaepernick without taking any action. Come on, really? The league is saying it planned this in response to teams who were interested in Kaepernick without taking any action? If they were so interested in Kaepernick, they'd work him out. You know, the way you work out any player all the time. If this is true, this is how whacked the league is. If this is true and the league was only responding to teams that were asking, if the teams needed permission to work him out, wouldn't that suggest that there's collusion? That the teams need permission? They need to contact the league for what? Since when do teams reach out to the league for permission? Permission to work out a player. Since when do they need permission instead of just working out the player? Does that not sound like collusion? Did anybody contact the league for permission to sign Nate Peterman? Because they should have. And then that permission should have been denied. Again, this whole thing's a joke. It's an embarrassment. If there's a mess to be made, the league will make it. And even when there's not a mess to be made, they will create one. And then they will make it. I mean, what's the point of that? And if they were looking for positive pub, they didn't get it. Meanwhile, Eric Reed, a former teammate who has dealt with this issue himself, who ultimately did make it back, is taking a look at this and says the entire thing is just so disingenuous.
It feels disingenuous. They told Colin that he has an opportunity and that the league will send representatives from each team, but it's a Saturday before game. Teams are traveling on Saturdays. What head coach or GM is going to be able to make this trip? But as far as I know, Colin's going to be there and he's going to perform because I know he's ready.
What does he feel about it? Have you talked to him?
Yeah, of course I've talked to him. It's just strange, but he's ready.
And apparently he and his reps said to the league in response, hey, can we do this on a Tuesday the way we always do these things? And the league said no. He said, all right, can we move it back so I have a little more time? And the league said no. That's why the whole thing's so weird. But it's not weird, right? Because it is what it appears to be. It is what I said it was. Normally, I'm not saying it. This is so because I say it so. What I'm saying here is, this is what I'm saying it is. Dear Rome, don't feel bad for Doc that his son wanted him to be ejected. He's going to outlive him anyway. Signed, A-Rod.
Just talking about not retiring, this is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents. And to think that there's more kids today playing esports than physical sports. It's something as parents, we have to really promote going outside and playing. Maddie, when we grew up, there was not, I mean, it was Atari, but you had to go outside and play for 4 or 5 hours. Kids today, too many times choose to stay inside and play video games.
Daniel and Chula Vista, what a great reset. Don't feel too bad, Rome, for Doc, that his son wanted him to get ejected. He's going to outlive him anyway. Signed, A-Rod.
Just talking about not retiring, this is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents.
I'm going to keep that in mind. The next time either Jake or Logan get on the wrong side of me, I'm just going to look at him like, hey, yo, let me tell you something, Junior. I'm going to outlive you anyway. Scoreboard, look up at it. Hey, Jim, I'm Team Doc, too. Regards, Renee Zellweger's face. Tommy from NC. Really sorry I'm out of time, Tom. But I am. We're coming right back. Craig Smith is next.